good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Turn over to page 139 and stand and join the choir tonight as we sing At Calvary. Everyone stand, sing together.
Years I spent in vanity and pride.
Brother Alan Young, it's good to see you here tonight. Would you take us, Lord, in word of prayer this evening? Amen. Church, you can be seated. Choir, if you'll remain standing and turn over to page number 120. Page 120, let's sing the first and the last of Victory in Jesus. Again, it's good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. Praise the Lord for the service this morning. And the choir's been working pretty hard this afternoon on trying to get ready for Jubilee, which was right around the corner, March the 2nd through the 6th. That'll be Sunday through Thursday. Make sure you put that on your calendars. Go ahead and invite people so they won't be able to say, well, I wish you told me. You go ahead and tell them. All right. Go ahead and invite them now. And let them put it on their calendars. Make that a very special week. And we'd love to fill the house that week during the week of Jubilee. Most of all, we want the Holy Spirit to come and show up and fill this place and to touch our hearts, change us. Boy, wouldn't it be something if somebody gets saved during the week of Jubilee? Now, there's your prayer request. Go ahead and pray. I am sure that someone will be here that week that doesn't know the Lord as their personal Savior. So let's us as a church make it a matter of prayer. It's a revival. It's a Jubilee. Let's let the Lord do something great during that week. Please remember all the prayer requests that were given this morning. Don't forget about next Sunday, right after the morning service. What are we calling that? Widows and Widowers Valentine's Luncheon. So please remember that. It'll be a great time, and I'm very excited about what the Lord is going to do next Sunday. Pray for Pastor tonight as he brings the message. The choir will sing a song here in a few moments, if you would just remember us in prayer as well. But let's ask the Lord to be with us in a powerful way tonight. Brother Don, would you lead us as we pray? Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. But Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, where is your faith? Because you prayed all night. Hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun. But seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now because you you're up there worried while he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, 'cause he'll soon bring peace. Just one word from his voice, and it all must cease. Because you prayed all night. Child, your cries have a
been a good day today, hadn't it? All right. So good to be here today, this morning, tonight, and had a good choir practice, went over some songs for Jubilee, and well, try to get clicked up here. Maybe someone has a word of testimony they want to share. It's been a little while since we've done that. And while I get geared up here, anybody got anything they want to share? Amen.
She would have paid $4 million for that.
So yes, sir.
We just thank you, Jesus, for that small kindness. You can wipe her nose and touch her phone. And those things that make life a little sweeter. We're praying for God to continue to do that. Her name is Miss Cheryl, and I appreciate your prayers. We just thank God. You have no way to thank you enough for that.
Amen, brother. Thank you for sharing that. What a blessing. And thank you, Brother Jeff. Brother Chuck. Amen. Thank you, Brother Chuck. Anybody else? I know Brother Ceylon. Go ahead.
I just want to say I love you tonight.
Amen.
Seems like the Lord is dealing with me different lately than what he
Yes, sir. Sure. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, those who are watching on Facebook and listening online can't hear all these testimonies. I've been told that before, but those of you that are watching and listening, we have had some that have been praising the Lord, some on the behalf of others who've had a car wreck and been paralyzed and now is moving, and the Lord blessing here with additions down in Children's Church, just hearing a little bit about the God of subtraction and addition, and the God of salvation. And so those of you that are watching and listening, that's what's been going on. Just want to share that. Anybody else? Amen, buddy. Amen. Amen. Max giving thanks to his grandmother that is with Jesus tonight for the upbringing that he had and introducing him to the children's home and the church. Thank you, buddy. That's amazing. Thank you. Anybody else? Not twisting any arms. If you have something on the top of your heart, you can go ahead and share it. If not, we'll get busy in the Word tonight. Yes. Yes. Amen. 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 Zoe, you're a bundle of love. You know that? You are a bundle of love. Right back at you, honey. Right back at you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. 108,000. I'm sorry?
108.
Yeah, 108,000. That's probably my southern little accent I have here, but $108,000. Kids going skiing. God's good, isn't he? God's good. Yeah, we'll shoot for 180 next year. Oh, me. All right. Habakkuk chapter number 3 tonight. And if you go to Matthew in the New Testament, go back 5 books, you'll find Habakkuk. It's just after Nahum. Tonight, just for a few moments, I want to share something directly from my heart, as I try to do every time I stand and speak. I counseled a man this past week, a young man, probably in his early 20s, mid-20s. I counseled him this past week. He was out of another church. In fact, his pastor had reached out to me and asked if I could. He recommended me to speak to him. And the man said he didn't want to talk to his pastor. He wanted to talk to somebody that didn't know him. And I said, sure, we'll talk. And we met and we talked. And I can understand that. You know, sometimes if you're talking to your friends or loved ones, there could be some bias there. Oh, you're okay, you're okay. You know, just keep on keeping on, you're okay. But if you go to somebody that doesn't know you, of course, there are some friends out there that tell you the truth, and praise the Lord for that. But if you go to someone that doesn't know you and speak with them, why, it's just a whole different word that you may receive because they don't know you. So we met here at the church and we talked for a little bit last week, and a few different verses kept coming to my mind during our meeting, and I want to share them with you tonight. Familiar verses. I just cannot get them out of my heart. I tried to replace them with something I haven't preached before, verses I haven't shared before, but I just couldn't get this out of my heart. And I've learned, and I'm learning, as Brother Berman used to say, preach what's in your heart. And so I've tried to follow that, and the Lord has never steered me wrong when I've done that. And some of the verses that I shared with this young man was right out of Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. And while I was sharing these verses, a phrase came upon my heart and my mind, and I shared the phrase with him. This phrase has stayed in my heart and mind since then. So I just want to share that phrase with you, and it's going to be my title tonight. And that is simply this: fall on your salvation. Fall on your salvation. That's the phrase that kept coming out to me, my mind. Fall on your salvation. Rest in your salvation. Whatever word you want to use. This young man, he was going through a terrible time in his life and couldn't make sense out of anything. And he was saved, and, you know, the Lord just directed me to Habakkuk and how Habakkuk was experiencing a whole lot of things during his time. And, of course, verse number 17 through 19 was so perfect for this guy. And but not just him, but I believe tonight it's perfect for all of us. I do want to say that if you're going to fall, fall on your salvation. Fall on your salvation. When things don't make sense, you feel like you're going to fall apart, fall on that thing that is sure and steadfast. That is your relationship with Jesus. And fall on your salvation when life is hard. Rest in Jesus when life is hard was the point I was trying to get across to him. When you're hurt by a close friend, fall on your salvation. When you have health problems, fall on your salvation. My word tonight is just simply fall on Jesus. Fall on the one who's unchangeable. Fall on the one who cares. Fall on the one who is there to catch you. Rest in your salvation, the surety of it, and everything that follows salvation. Rest in that. Salvation is that sure foundation in our life. We were talking the other day, and not only did I mention Habakkuk, and we'll get to him in just a moment, but I mentioned Job to him. Job chapter number 1, you can follow along or you can just listen along, but Job chapter number 1, in verse number 20, we know that Job lost everything. He lost his family, his finances, he lost his health. Verse 20, chapter 1, book of Job. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Everything was removed from his life. All of the fancies that he had, all of the securities that he had. Job was reduced to a pile of ashes. And Job said, "While everything is removed and everything is changing, my wife wants me to curse God and die. She's been touched deeply by this tragedy." Job says that I'm just going to worship the Lord because that's one thing that will never change. He won't change. My direction for eternity won't change. I am going to worship Him. And it's easier preached than lived. We know that. But it must be preached. It must be preached. And so we see that Job in Job chapter 1, verse number 20. What did Job do? Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell on the ground, worshipped. And he said what he said. He said, "Blessed, the Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Tonight the message is just simply this. Fall on Jesus. Fall on Him. Those watching on Facebook, fall on Him. And let me pause for a moment. I have a special prayer request. I have a special prayer request. It's unspoken, but it has to do with a family member. I seen something on Facebook right before church started, and you're probably wondering what it is, who it is. That's irrelevant. Just pray, if you would. Something very touching that I read. Someone needs our prayers. That's in my family. And so if you're watching, don't give up. Don't think about anything crazy. Don't think about becoming a prodigal. Just fall on Jesus. Fall on Him. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He talks about taking His yoke upon us. Sometimes we get yoked up with our own burdens, our own loads, and we carry, 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 carry. And we get worn down and worn down and worn down and worn down. And all of a sudden we're like, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to give up. I'm going to throw in the towel. Before you fall away, fall on Him. And I will say, if you have fallen into sin, fall forward. If you are falling away from God, fall forward. I read an excerpt from a book. I believe it was from Dr. Maxwell. And in that book, he says, if you fall, fall forward. And he said, you're probably wondering what I'm talking about. And he said, fall into God's grace. Fall into God's mercy. Fall into God's hand. And so he says, fall forward. And the young guy that I was talking to the other night, I said, listen, man, you said you're falling. We'll fall forward. We got a lot of people in our world and churches today who are falling out, who are throwing in the towel and saying, you know, it's just, church is just not working anymore. It does not fit into our curriculum. And they're falling away. You can see it. They don't answer their phones. And you see the post and you see the pictures. And not all of them are doing this, but some of them are. And they're on bar stools. They're at ball games. They're at all these things. And they're wondering why they have no joy. And they're wondering why these things are, they're not falling forward. They're falling backwards. So tonight, let us all just be reminded that if we're falling and we feel like we're falling because of our unpleasant circumstances, fall on our salvation. And if we're falling into sin, fall forward. Fall into God's grace and His loving kindness. He is full of compassion. He wants to forgive. He wants to endue with power. And He wants us to be victors. Amen. And so tonight we're in the book of Habakkuk. I want you to notice in chapter number 1 of this blessed little book, this minor prophet, that he had a belly full. He had a belly full. Have you heard that phrase before? I'm not talking about dinner, breakfast, or lunch. I'm talking about a belly full of problems. He had a belly full. Verse 1, chapter 1, the burden, the load, which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Listen, how long, or he said, oh Lord, how long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Notice what it says in verse 4. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. So Habakkuk has a belly full. What's going on in society? Those that are of violence, and those that are committing iniquity. And he says, Lord, why are you having me behold this? God, why don't you just step in and save the day? Has anybody ever, or going through something now, and you're like, God, why don't you just do something? God, they're way out there in right field. Why don't you just get them back in? Or, Lord, we have all of this going on in our world, and thank God for President Trump and all of that, but when will America turn back to righteousness? How long, oh Lord, how long? We as God's people, we try to be a witness and throw in a word here, throw in a word there, be a great example, you know, be a light to this lost and dying world. But we see it on TV, it's in the home, we're surrounded by it. We have a belly full, don't we? We have a belly full of it. How long, oh Lord, until you step in and do something? Listen, I think it is coming closer and closer each day. The Lord's return, He is going to do something soon. And he's going to come for us soon. He's going to do something soon. He's going to come quick. And I believe that for the church. Now, chapter number 1 deals with that, the bird in which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Verse 1 through 4 is the prophet's words, his complaint. Verse number 5 through 11 is the Lord speaking. And so God speaks back to Habakkuk here. And then we get to chapter number 2. Chapter number 2, while chapter number 1 has to do with Habakkuk's burden, chapter number 2 has to do with Habakkuk's behavior. In verse number 1, this is what Habakkuk said he's going to do in the meanwhile. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. So Habakkuk says, I'm going to stand upon my watch, my post. I'm going to stand guard. My eyes are going to be open. I'm not going to be sleeping. I'm not going to be in a slumber. I'm not going to fall away. Although all of these things are happening, if there ever was a time where we need to be sober-minded, vigilant, ready for the Lord's return and being a witness, it's now, during this dark time in which we're living in. Habakkuk said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand, I'm going to remain, I'm going to endure at my post. I believe that's what we're all experiencing now, is we've got a belly full from every direction, yet we are called upon God to stand at our post in our marriages. Called upon God to stand at our post as parents. Called upon God to stand at our post at our jobs and schools. This isn't a time we run away. This isn't a time that we faint and fall away. If you're going to fall, fall on your salvation. And if you're falling into sin, fall forward into God's grace. He can help you and save you. And so he says in chapter 2, verse number 1, I will stand upon my watch. He was waiting for the Lord to answer him. And of course, God answers him. And he tells him what I tell you, Habakkuk, write plain, make it clear so everybody can see it. And it's for an appointed time. It's not going to tarry. You may feel like I'm not going to come. You may feel like I'm not going to intervene or do anything, but I will. It's only a matter of time. That's chapter number 2. But then in chapter number 3, the Bible starts off in verse number 1. And while we looked at chapter 1, Habakkuk's burden, chapter 2, Habakkuk's behavior, chapter 3, is Habakkuk's belief. But look at verse number 1. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. Look at this. O Lord, I have heard thy speech. God spoke to him and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. So Habakkuk waited, and he had that belly full of grievance, and he was carrying a burden from the community. And so Habakkuk waited, and he maintained himself, and God spoke. And when God spoke to him, he was afraid. God spoke, and you can read about that in the previous chapter. God spoke, and Habakkuk, he was fearful. He said, oh God, when you do come, in your wrath, remember mercy. Listen, we may get frustrated with life and the people in life. We may get frustrated with this world and people in our community and the things on TV, the things I mentioned. We may get disgruntled. You know, we may get aggravated. We may get a belly full. But I want to tell you what. After the church is raptured out of here, the dead in Christ rise first, we are raptured out of here, there's going to be a 7-year tribulation time period. And the wrath of Almighty God is going to be poured out upon this world. And instead of going around and being angry and upset, listen, have convictions. Have a holy heart burned towards sin and all of those things. But we know God will eventually settle the records. And so it's our job to be compassionate. It's our job to share the gospel. It's our job to be a help to those that are in need. And so Habakkuk says, Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. Now, I want to call your attention tonight. I'm just going to mention three short things and we'll be through. Verse number 17, 18, and 19. This is what I shared with the young guy, and I believe God wants me to share it tonight for somebody. First of all, we see Habakkuk's honesty in verse number 17. Notice the word although. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. Then there's the word neither. Neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. There shall be no herd in the stalls. Habakkuk, he was honest. He says things are not good. He says the fig trees are not blooming. There's no fruit on the vines. The laborers are failing. There's no meat. There's no flock. There's no herd. There is just nothing, 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 nothing. All across the board. It's his honesty. And I was speaking to the young man and I said, look, it sounds to me like your life is almost in this condition. You're telling me about this and you're telling me about that. You're telling me about this and that and all of this. I said, Habakkuk felt that way. I said, Habakkuk was at a place in his life where he was experiencing hardship and there was just nothing happening. No fruit, no production, spinning your wheels. And I said, do you feel that way? He said, yes, I feel that way. And then I jumped in to verse number 18. While verse number 17, we see his honesty, in verse number 18, we see his reality. Habakkuk's reality. Now, verse number 17, the first word I called your attention to is although. And the first word in verse number 18 I've called your attention to is the word yet. Yet. You see, there was nothing going his way. He said, although, none of these things are happening. Although he was honest, then he said, yet, yet. He said, the reality is nothing has to be going my way for me to rejoice. He says, yet. In spite of nothing going my way, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, the unchanging one, the one who loves me, the one who created this world. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I said, young man, there may not be anything going your way tonight, but what you need to do is just fall on your salvation. Fall on Jesus. I said, Habakkuk, he was going through the same thing, and he said that he could still rejoice. Yet, yet, in spite of, along with, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Habakkuk could rejoice in the Lord again because the Lord is always the same. What does Paul say in Philippians? Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. The Lord was the object of Paul's praise. People change. Situations change. We've got money one day, it's gone the next. We've got housing one day, it's gone the next. We've got a job one day, it's gone the next. We have obedient children, the next day they're disobedient. We have families being divided, things happening, and there's distress in the home place. All these things taking place, all of them. Yet, Jesus never changes. Are you getting that? It's very elementary. It helped me, it helped him. Listen, easier preached than lived, but it must be preached. Paul says, rejoice. Don't be discouraged. Don't be depressed. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit on Jesus, but rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. How can you double rejoice? Because Jesus never changes. Because Jesus is provider. Because Jesus promised that we may have trials and tribulations, but we can be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. And if nothing ever changes in this life, I know that when we die, if we go by the way of the grave, that we'll wake up and we'll see Jesus. And it'll all be better. Preachers talked about no mores yesterday, and I was going through my head thinking about the same thing. No, praise the Lord, no more headaches, no more belly. Hey, no more struggle with food, amen? No more of that. No more heartaches. No more tears. Perfect health and just being and basking in the love of God forever. What a blessing. The reality. The reality tonight for all of us. Life may not be exactly how we want it, but yet we have a Lord that is faithful and just, and He is always here for us. I told Him that. And then he took out his little notepad. He said, hold on one second, Pastor. I want to write that down. I said, do so. Write it down. I said, it's very elementary. I said, I don't know a lot. I said, listen, I don't know everything about the Bible. I don't know a lot about the Bible, but what I do know, I know real good. I said, write that down. I said, you don't have to have a perfect set of circumstances in order to enjoy life. If you're falling, young man, fall into the loving arms of Jesus. And if you feel like you're falling into uncharted waters, fall on your salvation. Why? Because the Lord is unchangeable. He's always there. He's unmovable. And so we see His reality. He said, yet. And then lastly tonight, we see His ability. Habakkuk's ability. Verse number 19. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. And He will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer on my string instruments. That sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Like the book of Psalms and David. This is a poetical book, I believe, Habakkuk. And so Habakkuk says, this is my ability. I told him the other day, he said, what do I do moving forward? I get all this. I said, listen, you've got to condense yourself to one day at a time. And I love these two illustrations. I love them. Christy wrote a note of one of them and put them on our bathroom mirror. I said, listen, trickles. I said it not long ago. Trickles leads to streams. Streams lead to rivers. Rivers lead to oceans. And he was like, I said, if that don't make sense, sometimes you got to start small and then move forward step by step. That mountain that you're facing, you've got to find an opening at the foot of that mountain. You've got to find a clear pathway. And then I said the other one, which I absolutely love, that I heard. It's been a while now. Celebrate first downs, man. Christy wrote down a piece of paper, put it on the bathroom mirror for us. Celebrate first downs. Why is that important? Because in the sport that I don't even watch, I'll tell you why. Okay? I'm not totally against football, but I love it's for me, it's, and I'm chasing a rabbit, it's baseball, it's basketball, it's football. I don't know why, but that's just in that order for me. Okay? Nothing against it. Anyway, in football, you get four downs. Is that right, Ceylon? I don't know. I think so. Four downs. And if you don't get a first down after that fourth down, it's a turnover. So the end zone may be way down there. And you may be on the five-yard line. And if they get the ball, if they intercept it, they can run it for a touchdown. But you're four downs, you're on the fourth down. You hike it. Toss it over the running back. He dives just over that line. And guess what? You've got a first down. You see them celebrating out there? Woo, yeah. Woo. They're jumping like they scored a touchdown. What's the big deal? They scored a first down. That's the big deal. And now they've got four more tries to get another first. And then they get another first. Woo! Hey, Dirty Birds, Atlanta Falcons, let's go. Bulldogs, woo! And then they go another 4 yards. First down. And then before they know it, look, here's the end zone. All we need to do is get one more. It's fourth down. Let's get it. They get it. They do a spin around. They go, woo! Y'all probably wonder, if you don't like football, why are you doing all that? Well, I kind of like it. Back when I lived in Mississippi, I tried out for middle school football team. I quit after the first practice. I said, oh my goodness, Mom, please take me to Mickey D's. And then after that, sign me up for baseball. That's what I'm playing. I said, you're sitting here today, and you've got this mountain. You've made some bad decisions. I mean, he said he may even lose his family. You can't take that lightly. And I even told him, I said, look, man, you may want to pursue some more, you know, counsel or professional therapy after this. I said, I hope what I have to say will help a little bit. But he had all these things going on. I said, look, I know you want it fixed. And I believe every man in here is a fixer. If we mess up, we want it fixed, don't we, Brother Jeff? If something's wrong with the house, we want it fixed. We want to fix this. We want that fixed. We want this fixed. We mess up, we want it fixed. That's why it bothered me for 10 years that I couldn't fix Lily's scoliosis. I couldn't. Christy couldn't. I couldn't. But we as men, we want to fix it. I said, look, man, I know you want to fix it, but you got to find out which path to take today. I said, trickles lead to streams, streams, rivers, rivers, oceans, celebrate first downs, start here. I said, that's exactly how Habakkuk looked at it. He said, although these things are bad, yet will I be glad because of Jesus. And he said, my moving forward has to do with God and his strength. He says in verse number 19, and he will make my feet like hind feet. Woo! Doot, 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 doot. Y'all didn't think I could do that, did you? Hey, Floyd wrote about 20 years ago. I don't know if y'all remember. Caught the Holy Ghost. I jumped up and landed my knees on the pulpit. Water, I about fell forward, my crazy self. Listen, hind feet, gazelle, the gazelle. Or one writer said female deer, one writer said gazelle, whatever. Something that can leap in a single bound, right? What is that, Superman? Okay, now, the gazelle, what has that got to do with Habakkuk? Habakkuk is saying, God will make me swift. God will be my enablement. He said that the enemies are here and there's this land is distorted and there's sin and all of these things. But God, you will enable me to leap over some of the problems in my life. You're my strength. There's some things that I've been trying to leap over and can't. And can't. But God, you're my source. And by you being my source and me trusting in you as my source, you can do in a single bound what I tried my whole life to do. Tonight, we see his ability. He says he will make my feet like hinds feet. Some of you have been trying to conquer something on your own strength. Can I say God can do what we can't? He can give you hinds feet. He could give you hinds. The enemy has you. He keeps knocking you down. You try to go around them. You try to go over them. You try to do all these things. The reality is we can't defeat the enemy. The reality is the enemy has already been defeated. And the reality is the only way to move forward is through Jesus. He says in James, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But we got to resist first. We got to submit first. So Habakkuk said, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Mine high places has to do with restoration, returning to his own land. Those mounds or those hills, the temple even, could be in there possibly. He says he will make me to walk upon mine high places. There will be security there, restoration there, freedom there. I can be free in my homeland without fear of the enemy. If the enemy comes, God will give me hind feet. Some of you tonight need freedom. Freedom. God has given us an inheritance, of course, we'll have one day, but now God has given us a Canaan land. There's giants in the land. But the Lord can give us the ability to enter in, fight, overcome. But you see, the key to all of this tonight is falling on our salvation, is resting in Jesus. That's the phrase that kept coming to my mind. Notice this, and I'll be through. To the chief singer on my string instruments. He's talking about setting to set to tune and to be sung, a lot like Psalms. Again, it's a poetical book as well as a historical book. To the chief singer on my string instruments, I want this to be set to tune and sung. May not hurt us to sing Habakkuk 3, 17, 18, 19. I'm not going to do it right now. But it may not hurt from occasion to sing verse number 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, on and on and on and on and on and on, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. On and on and on and on and on. The Lord God is my strength. On and on and on and on and on. You see how that builds? Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises at midnight, and the place shook. I remember one of the first jubilees I came here to this church, Brother Randy. Came with Ford Road, of course. Where's David Henderson's in the back, isn't he? Okay. Wayne Myers said this after one particular service. Brother, I said Brother David because Brother David knows Brother Wayne. Don't you, Brother? Doing some work for him. Wayne said, Brother Justin, you know what we experienced tonight over there at Calvary? I said, what? He said, God was rattling those blinds in that church. Did you feel that? I said, yes, sir, I did. And y'all remember even some of the earlier meetings than me and my wife did. I'm talking about that was probably, I got saved in 02. That was probably 03, 04. Place was packed. Old Path singing, Diplomat singing. My goodness, I've never experienced anything like that before. It was just a moving of Almighty God. God can still do that, of course. But what I'm getting at is this in conclusion is that sometimes we just need to sing it. We need to say it. We need to... I'm not about naming and claiming, but I can claim that I'm a child of God, and God works all things together for good. So that's the message tonight, is to simply fall on your salvation. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for all things. Thank you, God, just for the ability to be able to speak your word tonight. God, it was in my heart. Oh, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. I pray somebody was touched tonight by your word. It's nothing that I can do. It's not a personality, but it's your word. God, my prayer is always that I rightly divide your word, Lord. And so I pray, God, that it was received tonight as it is in the book. And I pray that we will do business with you if we need to tonight. We love you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. If you need to come, come on down. Pray about whatever you want to pray about. Anybody else? God bless these young people. What a blessing. What a blessing. We love you all. We're praying for you. You need to mount some obstacles tonight? You can. In Jesus. In Jesus. Trickles lead to streams. Remember that. One step is all you need. One step in the right direction. And if you're in that right direction, just stay there. I read a quote from Abraham Lincoln one time. It said, "Find out where God wants you and plant your feet there and don't be moved." Amen? Maybe you need to come and pray about where God wants you, what God will have you to do, whatever the case may be, as we continue to sing. Some plans we play softly. Appreciate you coming this way. Thank you for your faithfulness. I know the Lord is thankful for that. And just I pray everybody has a great week this week. Let's be our brother and sister's keeper. Amen. Let's check on one another. Let's hold each other accountable. I love our church family, don't you? Amen. Amen. We are a mighty, mighty bunch, aren't we? We are marching forward. We appreciate you and love you. And again, we'll have some Jubilee information next week. And so be on the lookout for that. Just a lot of good things. Remember, next Sunday morning after the AM service, please remember the Valentine's Widowers luncheon. We're excited about that. Let me just leave you again, remind you of some prayer requests, and then we'll be gone. We'll be dismissed. Continue to remember, of course, the Byron brothers and Brother Gary Pace as well in days ahead, as there's going to be that missing seat at the table for Miss Pam. But just pray for them. Miss Diane Ely, she has tests coming up. She's not doing good. Dawn Daly with her UTI, Bonnie and Jim Carmichael, and several others on our prayer list. Miss Lucille Leonard and Dolores Palmer, all of them. I found out also that my grandmother fell. And so if you would just remember her, my grandfather, and just everybody on the prayer list, if you don't mind. We need each other, don't we? We need each other. All right. Also, Chuck's uncle. Let's continue to remember him, Alan Martin. All right. Anything else to mention before we go? All right. Thank you for coming. Be blessed. Be safe. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here on Wednesday night. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Thank you today for all that you've done. Help us share Jesus with someone in this lost and dying world, this aggressive community, where there's hatred and violence. Help us be that love that that we can give to them, Lord, from you. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Bring us back safely on Wednesday night. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're dismissed.